How many websites do you use to get your daily dose of wrestling news and views? 3, 4, 5 or more? Do yourself a favor and make that number 1 by going to WrestleChat.net. Franklin Daniel and his staff bring you the most comprehensive wrestling headlines all day, every day. Plus, WrestleChat brings you informative and entertaining podcasts like the Still Real to Us Show, the Bauer Show Podcast, and the North American Wrestling Connection each and every week. For up-to-date wrestling news and insightful wrestling views, there's only one site to turn to, and that's WrestleChat.net, your pro wrestling news source. The following program is a CLW83.com production. For 7 years.
7 years.
300 episodes and counting.
300 episodes.
The North American Wrestling Connection.
The NAWC.
Professional wrestling's recognized leader in talk entertainment. And now, WrestleChat.net, the freaking awesome network, and CLW83.com present the North American Wrestling Connection, your home for informative and entertaining wrestling discussion since 2007. Sanctioned this week by the following.
Well, we sit out in Raw for 3.5 hours every week.
Yeah, I mean, we don't go to the bathroom.
I know, that's the problem, but sometimes you want to.
I've almost left the ringside a few times.
Booker T did. This is actually a great story. Booker T was doing commentary a couple of years ago. We were announcing at ringside during a pay-per-view, and Booker had never done commentary before, so he didn't realize that you're out there for pretty much 3 full hours. And
sometimes four.
Yes, and he never stopped his fluid intake during the day. So during the Elimination Chamber match, this is where this huge cage surrounds the ring. At the time, I was a bad guy on television, so I had to go up to this podium and read an email from the anonymous general manager. So as I go up to the podium to read the email, I happen to glance over at the announce table. Now, this is on live television. Booker stands up, and he just leaves the announce table, and he starts walking around the ring, and he goes to the back, and I'm like, so I sit down, and I'm like, where the hell did he go? I can't remember who I was working with. It was Jerry or whoever it was. And Booker comes wandering back about 5 minutes later. Where were you? And he goes, I had to go to the bathroom. So he got up in the middle of a live broadcast to go to the locker room, go to the bathroom, and come back.
People don't realize we're out there a lot of times for 4 hours straight.
Yes.
So this is not like NFL football where like Aikman and Joe Buck, who are probably the best in the world, they sit up there in a booth, and during commercial breaks, they can go to the bathroom. We can't.
No, we're at ringside.
We're at ringside. we got nowhere to go. Actually, last year at WrestleMania, because we're out there almost 5 hours for WrestleMania straight.
Yep.
I found a bathroom that was about 100 feet away in that 70-something thousand seat arena, just in case. And I told King, I said, hey, there's a bathroom right there. Now, neither one of us had to use it, but it was just in case.
And the worst part about it is you're out there and we're screaming and yelling for 4 hours and your voice gets parched,
so you have
and you're
to
dry
drink
and you have to drink. It's like, it's unreal.
And this is one of the strange things that keeps women from the announce table. Because apparently they don't believe that we can hold it for 3 hours. Apocryphal at best. But let's skip the bathroom humor tonight at the North American Wrestling Connection. My name is Nikki Heyman, and let me take a look around the table. Let's start with one of our technicians, VRM.
All right, first of all, JBL, wrong!
Go ahead.
Buck and Aikman, not the best team. That is Bird and the Beard.
Wrong! Wrong, 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 wrong!
Referring to his opinion on Aikman and Buck, of course. Down in the not-so-sunny Sunshine State, Mr. Chris Waters.
So I'm guessing that you're saying that his rumor about his thing he said about the announcers, that you can just flush that, right? I'm sorry. It was just perfect setup. How you doing tonight?
And finally, after a long, extended hiatus, we finally found him a cardboard box, and I think somebody stole it again. Are you here, Mr. Delgado? That figures. Tom Delgado finally gets a decent cardboard box, and now he's got the potty emergency. I said no bathroom humor! Although, admittedly, to Cole's story there, the walkout Raw, I think Booker had left the announce table, and when the next week when he came back, they asked him about it. He said, I had to go to the bathroom. I had to pee.
Well, the show was over.
Yeah, I thought the show was over, so I had to go to the bathroom. So, anyway, while Tom Delgado works again on his return, we're going to start with what was not a very impressive Raw. Now, I've been called a WWE apologist, and we, as part of one of the most positive podcasts on the interwebs, we'll still going to speak our mind when there's a bad Raw. VRM, what happened?
That's a good question. I don't watch the product anymore because I'm getting into football mode.
Then what the hell are you doing here? Never mind.
You're fired.
Chris, if you can get your mic straight.
What's wrong with it?
You are popping in and out worse than Twilight and teleport spam mode.
Hang on a second. And the people, I try to fix this.
So, actually, I'll say good thing, bad thing. That all happened in the first segment. WWE has learned to use their legends the right way and give them a place to speak. In this case, Shawn Michaels, Ric Flair, and Hulk Hogan were brought in as a Hall of Fame panel to discuss John Cena's chances against Lesnar in his rematch at Night of Champions. Mr. Cena should have been there in name only. Because, Chris, what happened 5 minutes in?
5 minutes in, we had the trumpets playing, pretty much.
Yeah. It was quickly followed by this was my immediate reaction.
Jesus!
Although, to be fair, I will say, at least they didn't have him trying to joke around in anything. That's the one thing I'll say positive about that.
But my issue is that granted, it's been a week, so he's had plenty of time of letting his healing factor kick in.
Yeah, but this shows that it's still an absurd healing factor. Both shoot and work, his healing factor is.
And that's what I don't understand. Now, I heard an interesting story, and I don't know if this is true or not. So, you know, take it for what it's worth. You know, it's just like my opinions; they're usually free. That Cena didn't want to be out there either for the opening promo or what they did in the main, which I'll get to. I don't want to, he might have said, and I quote, I don't want to be booked like that. Well, John, we don't want you to be booked like that. We know you're Superman. We don't need it beaten into our minds. So, Cena's back. And we get Lesnar via satellite, or at least in a pre-taped promo, where Lesnar gets to intimidate, and my dear Uncle Paul simply tisks at the thought that John Cena is still walking.
And that Lesnar was insulted by Cena looking for the match.
The fact that it was... leniency that Lesnar decided to let Cena live. Yet Cena implied when he was talking to the Legends panel that he could have beaten Lesnar. Yes, I heard a can drop. That's about how I felt.
He could have beaten Lesnar, but it wasn't a cue match in the chain.
Chris, seriously, kick that microphone.
What's going on?
It's like I said, you're in teleport spam mode.
Maybe it's because I'm doing this one upload thing now. That's
Just maybe.
So, VRM, I know you're in football mode, but let me just try to drag you back into the wrestling world for a second.
Mm-hmm.
John Cena at SummerSlam supposedly got the beating of his life. Now, granted, you know, Chris is right. Cena wasn't dancing, wasn't joking, wasn't smiling, barely acknowledged the crowd, but was still out there in, you know, moving reasonably mm-hmm. and saying that he was going to get his title back from Lesnar. Since you were probably watching something else, that 5 minutes in and you hear that, would there have been anything left of your television?
Well, there would have been something left of my television because I needed it for the Xbox One. But I would have just been like, really? We're walking this road again? And we're a week out of utter domination, and now you're booking him as if he's just all that's happened is it's pissed him off.
It gets better. They end up throwing him into the main event with the world's largest tag team against the Wyatts.
Mm-hmm.
He won. He won the freaking match. Facepalm, ladies and gentlemen. So,
I think I know what my TV is going to be tuned to on Mondays for the next 16 weeks.
And I see you turning towards your TV.
All right, fuck you.
And there will be no Raw on VRM's TV for a while. So, but there was some okay stuff. Let me get past the other load of crap. To me, is still a load of crap, and that's what's going on with the Bellas. I skipped a lot of this segment, which I shouldn't have, but I didn't feel like throwing up on my couch. I have two cats that do that very well for me. Thank you very much. Well, Jerry Lawler is trying to stage some sort of intervention to try to get the twins to make up, to kiss and make up, which of course he would have sat back and enjoyed. Instead, he got his face slapped off. If Brie or Nikki could halfway act, I might even be halfway interested. But I think they took their acting lessons from Stephanie.
And Nikki did no favors by invoking the Matt Hardy promo on Edge kind of one-liner, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, it's just, you know, the faux hatred between these two is ridiculous. And of course, this means, you know, what does this mean for WWE? Hey, look, we're gonna have these two ladies arguing on Total Divas Season 3. And I still don't care. Keep trying, Fed. Keep trying. We did have a few progressions, though. Actually, it's sad when one of the better segments of the show is a funeral. And The Undertaker wasn't even involved. The funeral for Dean Ambrose, to which I reiterate, you hit him in the head, Seth. That didn't kill him. There's nothing to hurt up there. admittedly, though, Kane was involved, so I guess that's still legal, VRM?
Yeah.
In this faux eulogy where Rollins praises and buries Ambrose at the same time, he also continues to crow about how he created and destroyed the Shield. Mr. Rollins forgot about the third member of the Shield, who decided to drop by to pay his respects. Needless to say, the funeral was not completed. There was nothing left of the wreaths. And that earned Roman Reigns a handicap match against Kane and Rollins.
I will say a friend of mine was disappointed because they were thinking that Dean was hiding in the podium.
Actually, I would have paid for that. I would have paid to see that. Now, there's this GIF on the boards that I saw of Dean looking at a newspaper, and somebody put the clip on the thing on there. They held a funeral for me. I need context. I want to know where that clip is from. Because personally, I just, like I said, we've enjoyed the fact, you know, where in the world is Dean Ambrose right now?
Well, if the sign is the indication, he's honing his skills as the titty master.
Which means he's not here.
Yeah.
I figured he was at home washing his jeans. So yeah, VRM, where in the world is Dean Ambrose right now?
Probably paying a visit to Kappa Amy and saying, hey, I got an idea for the next one.
Yes.
Happy Scary Dean.
Happy Scary Dean is awesome. And I think they should do Happy Scary Dean on Raw. I would pay a lot of money for Happy Scary Dean.
Kappa Amy did put up a picture where Dean kind of made the same face. And they put it next to the little chibi.
Yes.
Yeah, it's on as a DeviantArt. If you could check her.
If anybody, your internet is stalling, so maybe I should go look for
my
it.
My internet is. Let's see, where is?
Bring me this side by side. I gotta see this because I love Kappa Amy's work, and damn it, Kappa Amy, I want you on my show. I realize there's a huge time difference, but I want you on my show.
There it is.
Let's have a look at this. Happy Scary Dean. Yeah! Oh, crap.
He knows.
Oh, my goodness. That's excellent. Oh, that's awesome. Oh, I have a tear in my eye. That is beautiful. Damn you, Kappa Amy. You are an artist. And damn you, Dean Ambrose. You are scary as fuck. Anyway, I'm going to close that because I can't. Dean Ambrose is not going to watch me podcast. So, with Night of Champions on the horizon, we're starting to get the title matches in place. We already knew about Lesnar Cena from last week that the evil boss did not look very happy in announcing on main event of all places. Cesaro defeats RVD in a short match to become number one contender against Sheamus for the U.S. title.
About time someone won something.
Dude, this is going to be one of the stiffest matches outside of Sheamus Barrett. These two are going to hurt each other. I'm already loving the idea. So, Mr. Delgado, are you back yet? That sounds. I just hope he didn't. I hope he didn't flush himself down. Anyway, I'm guessing we're getting AJ Page rematch, given their attempts to out creep each other. Which I'm not 100% sold on, Chris. But you know, what do you think?
I'm thinking Mickey James is looking at them right now on amateurs.
Pretty much. Looks like what we're also gonna get for the tag titles, the Usos versus Goldust and Stardust.
Yeah. That's a twist, anyway.
It's a twist. It's. I don't think it's a good twist because I don't like the idea of Goldust and Stardust as heels.
There, you see, there's the thing about it. It's weird that they did it, but think about this. Goldust, when he was a heel, when he started in 96, I know you weren't watching then.
Mm-hmm.
He was a creepy son of a bitch back then.
And Cody's been doing everything he can to out-creep him.
Now think about Cody trying to invoke that and upping the ante as much as he can in this era.
Okay. Granted, there's a ceiling because it's PG.
But it was also PG when Goldust gave Ahmed Johnson mouth to mouth.
Blah. Ew. Yuck. Excuse me. Hang on. We need something for that. Brain bleach! Okay. So. Does the Delgado live?
We don't have Tom Delgado, but we got Young Frankenstein. I think that's Young Frankenstein, actually.
No, I think Saigon just found his stomach. Way out.
Oh, sounds like the Chinese was bad.
It was.
Oh. But you lived.
Yeah, it was ugly.
That's all right. We'll try to make you forget about that bad Chinese. In fact, you came in at just the right time. You missed the part about Goldust and Ahmed Johnson.
Oh, gee. No, I heard some of it.
I'm sorry. So, if you've been watching, what do you think about the Dusts working their way towards, sliding slowly towards heeldom?
Heel Dust does not really make that much sense to me. I mean, I don't mind that they're going to feed another heel team to the Usos, but it doesn't make too much sense. The whole thing doesn't really make sense to me.
Well,
that's much I could draw for it.
Well, I think it's at the point that maybe I'm just thinking too hard about this because the Dusts aren't supposed to be comprehended.
Oh, what fun is there in making sense?
And I would pay a ton of money to hear Goldust say that.
I'd pay a ton of money to John Delaney to manage them one night.
I wouldn't want to risk Mr. Delancey out there, although I'm sure he would enjoy himself.
I'm missing some excellent chaos here.
Anyway. So, now that I got you back here, Tom, I'm going to throw a couple other things at you that we talked about with this past Monday's Raw. Cena gets the beating of his life, shows up 5 minutes into Raw. What do you do to your TV?
Well, I didn't watch it, but if I did, I would have put my foot through it.
So, yeah. He got a hell of a reception. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, the show otherwise was eh. I mean, the only other thing I can say is poor Sandow. Which
I don't know.
At least he's booked.
Admitted he's booked, and this is actually kind of goofy as him being Miz's stunt double. A, the fact that he's a full head taller than Miz, has a full beard. Yet they found whatever expensive fashionista outfit that to fit him, and him taking all the bumps for Miz while he's, you know, trying to get himself into a movie. Points to Kane for interrupting Miz's phone call.
Sorry, Miz won't be able to make it because he's already booked in a match.
Love you, Miz. Big fan. I don't care. Kane is awesome. Anyway. So, what others?
Are we still talking Raw? Or?
Well, a little bit of Raw, a little bit of SmackDown regarding Miz and his stunt double, Sandow.
Right. Well, you were talking about Austin Kane. He's even more awesome when you give him various costumes to wear, if you know what I mean.
Oh, I have no idea what in the world that drape is that Miz and poor Sandow are wearing. But apparently it's from some highfalutin fashionista who, you know, apparently doesn't know how to make a proper shirt.
How can you be so insensitive?
Because I know you can do better than that. Anyway. Sorry, it was there.
It was either that or the straws and spoons, but she couldn't make that one work.
Mm-hmm. So, that's about all I can think of for Raw, unless there's anything else specific I should mention.
What I can think of.
Okay.
Except that that Swagger still has has a new feud going on.
Swagger is getting diverted out of his feud with Rusev and is being, you know, is a face being booked as an underdog as he continues to lose to Rusev, but this time, the last couple of times, he's had a, I don't even know how to put it.
Something inspirational to try to help him along.
Ah, yes, an innocent bystander.
Oh, I thought we were talking about the return of the Swagger Soaring Eagle.
I wish. Oh, I wish. Even if Zeb was wearing the suit, I want the eagle back so bad. But apparently they're going to trade, they're going to do some feud swapping, and they're going to put Swagger up against Bo Dallas. Now that Swagger is this sympathetic face and everybody's like, oh, we know you're trying really, really hard to beat the big Russian, while JBL is shooting off at the mouth and acting like Michael Cole from 3 years ago.
Now that's an insult to Cole from 3 years ago.
It's damn close.
If JBL gets a gong, though, then we'll have a thing.
If they had explained that to us, I was at this show, I might have laughed. This was not explained to the live crowd. We had no idea what was going on. And if JBL gets a gong, we'll never hear the end of it.
Although it would be funny, this is a minor step. We don't talk about the JBL and Ghost show that much on here.
Right.
I actually watched it this week. They had a special guest star on this show. Well, two, actually. Barrett came back, and it looks like he's recovering.
Good.
And they actually had the actor who played Mr. Belding from Saved by the Bell play Mr. Belding in that.
Oh, Lord, Dennis Haskins.
Yes.
Well, between Xavier Woods and a bunch of these other guys who were probably 90s kids to begin with, I shouldn't be surprised.
And he had Dolph Ziggler actually act like Zach and do a freeze frame kind of thing.
Oh, jeez. Actually, a lot of the neat stuff that's happening in the wrestling world had happened off screen. First of all, 2K is giving us a little freebie tease of a game to keep us occupied until 2K15 actually drops in a couple of months. It is a fully electronic collectible card game, which it took me a minute to wrap my brain completely around. Then I downloaded it, and I was doomed from there. The game is called Super Cards, and essentially, you know, it's an online CCG where you get a handful, you get cards that you can collect. You pick out each superstar card. You have booster cards. They, you know, all the cards have stats, and all the cards have a thing to show tag team compatibility. So a little bit of live here. I'm going to pull up my Kindle. I promise I won't play.
And apparently the Eva Marie cards are pretty tough.
I have lost to an Eva Marie card. I am not pleased.
Hey, it's the second incarnation of WWE's Terminator models. They lost the K2 unit a while back.
Ouch. So yeah, my current top team is Shawn Michaels, Chris Jericho, Brock Lesnar, Tyson Kidd, and Natalya.
The new Dangerous Alliance, ladies and gentlemen.
That's right. And our booster cards are a stop sign and a card called WWE Universe, which is essentially a crowd booster that helps your charisma. There's two game modes. There's exhibition mode, where you pick an opponent and you bring your cards out and see what you can do against them. And then there's King of the Ring mode, which you don't get to see much of what's going on. You see how my boys are doing. Is anybody back up to... Yeah, I think it's time to swap some people out. Oops. As I'm being silly, and I said I wasn't going to play, but here I go.
You're playing.
Riveting entertainment, ladies and gentlemen. Riveting entertainment.
Give me a second. Let me just finish swapping these guys out. And there.
I summon blue-eyed white dragon in attack mode.
Now I have a big E card. You just activated my mid card. Okay. Anyway, the game is addicting as hell, so be careful. Be very, very, very careful. Now, I have put that aside, and I'm going to continue here. So, I need a soundbite at $9.99, $9.99, $9.99, $9.99. Because now I'm going to talk about a stretch of network stuff. Now, Chris, is your mic functioning?
Have I glitched out any recently?
You're better than you've been.
Okay, because I finished exporting the audio file that I was working on. I'll tell people about that when we start plugging.
Perfect. So the network has decided to put up a bunch of older material that I know a lot of people would be interested in, including early SmackDowns and early Nitros, as in day one from Mall of America.
Yes. They haven't officially put them up yet because they're still working on them, making sure everything's right, I think. But somebody managed to somehow find them in the system. The weird thing is how they're labeled right now. The first Nitro is actually listed Nitro 79, which sounds like an ancient pay-per-view, but it's not. And then they go on from there, Nitro 80 and so forth and so on. So I think they're working on getting them all uploaded, and then they'll edit them properly once they are.
Okay.
But it was great to see the Sting-Hogan 95 match, which makes their 97 match look like, what Mr. Delgado was using and putting into certain areas, if you know what I mean, before he came back on the show.
Oh, you mean like this?
Anyway. Yes.
Okay. So, but yeah, they're going to have the, because on SmackDown tonight, they advertised that the early SmackDowns were going to be added to the network. And of course, you know, everybody's drooling over Monday Night War, because it's not going to be just the old footage from the DVD that they released in, 2003?
Right.
I've seen newer interviews from some of the preview clips, because that's half the reason why I haven't been watching them. Like, I have the DVD.
This blows the DVD out of the water, trust me. They go really into depth. They did a whole episode pretty much from before Nitro started up to the first episode. That was the first episode, the one that they did the free preview for when they first did it.
Okay, so this leads up to when Luger shows up on Nitro, and everybody's like, wait a minute.
Yeah, they talk about that on there, too. And then the second episode was talking about the NWO and their effect. The third was the Attitude Era change. Apparently this thing is supposed to go either 20 or 40. I've heard 20 in some places and 40 on Wikipedia. So they might get into depth of other things like Sting and the Cruiserweights and maybe that one night with the finger poke and Mick Foley winning the title and so forth and so on.
The preview clip I saw tonight, they played Schiavone's line about Mick Foley winning the title. They showed a clip of the finger poke of doom. It's something that I definitely would like to hear more about from the guys that had that were literally in the trenches during this time. Because I think some of it is still going to get blown out of proportion, Kevin Nash, but
actually Nash has been kind of humble there. And we got a new and we have a new Scott Hall interview too, because he's got his website on his shirt.
Sweet. I will definitely look this up, and anybody else who has the network, look this up and watch. Even if you were a fan during this time, there's a whole lot more to any story.
Plus you get to hear Vince McMahon imitate Ted Turner a few times.
Oh God. More than once? Wrestling.
Yeah.
All I gotta say is wrestling.
Yeah, it works better when he says it, but he's talking about how Ted is saying, oh, now you're beating us in the ratings, and that's because you show the tit.
No, there were pasties. Or at least that's the one I think of.
I think
with the pasties and King losing his mind?
That wasn't pasties.
Oh.
That was paint.
Oh.
Either way, they were puppies!
Tom Delgado is alive!
Yes, I am.
Okay. Something else that popped up on the internet and has sadly disappeared unless somebody has found a way to save it is apparently WWE animators wanted to try their hand at Family Guy style and created a thing called Cheap Pops.
It is on YouTube. I found somebody put up a link to the YouTube of it.
Cool. It's
how long until WWE claims the copyright on it?
No, WWE made it.
But they had to take
it down. But we're trying to find out why.
My theories are pretty much that there must have been some dispute with some of the people in there. Either because of two characters that were included that were retro that are no longer in the company, or people complaining about the ending scene of it.
How could you complain about Kane and scuba gear on a surfboard?
No, the thing after that. With the super fan with the head?
Oh, yeah. So anyway, it's some of the stuff in it is cute. Don't get me wrong. I might be a little biased because I'm not a fan of Family Guy.
Animation style looked like Family Guy, but the way it was laid out, it reminded me more of Robot Chicken.
Yeah, that's how the quick clips were. And a Robot Chicken style show is something that I've mentioned on the boards more than once that I would like to see. I'm still waiting for John Cena's rap and wrestling. But this will do. Ah, thank you.
I don't know if it's still up. I didn't get a good look at it. I just found the link.
Digging through the YouTubes, it still exists.
It still exists.
All
yes,
right.
It does.
You get to see Kane?
Like I said, though, how long until WWE claims the copyright and has it taken down from this person's site?
Ah, I see what you mean.
Well, people, if you can find it, enjoy it while you can, anyway. And beg WWE to make those three Kane action figures.
Yes. So let me get that off my screen. Go ahead.
The only thing I want to add to that is Scuba Kane. Scuba Kane. Scuba Kane.
Like
Scuba Kane.
Oh,
Canadian yeah. scuba gear and a surfboard, license to print money.
And also, now we know why Cena was able to recover, because Brock wasn't using his hunting skills on Cena like he did in this.
I would watch the hell out of a Brock Lesnar hunting show if all he's going to do is punch animals in the face. Forget Mongo. Here comes Brock.
Yeah.
So, we've got this going. The other thing that's going on is that, you know, I'm a fan of Slam City. And they've been very slow in getting new episodes up, even though a second season has been promised. All that's been put up is a two-parter with Mark Henry and The Rock fighting over a pizza. It's worth it, people.
It's 1998 all over again.
I checked out Slam City today, and they are soon to be releasing a comic based on the story, the overarching storyline of Slam City. And they had a little 3 or 4 page preview where the wrestlers are training, and they all get called to the main office where they don't see Vince, but the Finisher, the established villain of Slam City, who personally hands all of the wrestlers their pink slips. And that's where the preview ends. Chris, does your Comixology have room for this?
If it comes out on Comixology, yeah, I still have to check on that. Plus, I want to see the insanity of that WWE Heroes one that they had a few years back first.
Oh my God, be careful. Be careful. I tried to read the first comic and I, first of all, I could barely recognize everybody because they were all drawn the same.
Right.
At least the Mick Foley one, you could tell who was who. Although I never did get the Hangover issue. I need to go find a copy of that. Somehow RVD and CM Punk are involved. Anyway. So, let's see. Do we have anything new on the TNA front? Am I required to talk about TNA even though Spike is technically not required to broadcast them anymore?
I will defer to the other two gentlemen.
There is a new suitor, not a very profitable suitor.
Well, it's just an odd choice. I mean, I thought these guys were off the air. As I send a joke pic into the chat.
Am I the only just to ramble for a second and fill time? Am I the only one who keeps thinking when I see TNA news, like, damn it, just die already?
No, you're not alone. I mean, there's discussion on it, and I haven't said anything on it. The boards were happy to do this. Freaking Awesome Networks message boards are freaking awesome. But somebody straight up asked, do you want TNA to die? So, Tom, let me start with you since you brought it up. Do you want TNA to die and why?
Quite frankly, yes. Only because I'm sick and tired of hearing, is TNA going to survive? Is TNA going to eventually die out? Just die already. Let these guys go somewhere else, because I'm sure Japan would love to have most of these guys. I'm sure WWE would love to have a few of these guys if the opportunity suits them.
VRM, same question.
If only it'll make the pain stop. I mean, they're starting to cut guys left and right for cost cutting. Just this past week we had about 5 people released from the front office in merchandise, PR, graphics department. We now confirm ODB is
gone. ODB, I know, yeah, she's gone, which shouldn't hurt her too much because at least now she can actually make some money. Anyway. I'm sorry, this to, you know, before I get to you, Chris, I'm just going to give my answer. People are going to say, oh, you shouldn't say things like that. You're costing a whole bunch of people jobs. And I said, to that I say, not really. Most of these guys can get work in other indie feds, in Japan, in Europe, make more money than what they're making with TNA, and probably be a whole lot happier in the process, because TNA isn't letting them, you know, wasn't letting them go to other, you know, go work indies, or at least when they went, oh no, they can't record that. That's our, you know, those guys belong to us. No, they're independent contractors. Screw you guys. You know, you don't want these people to make money, then you know what? If they don't want to make money, they can be very happy sitting in the back. At this point, these guys should be allowed to go find their way in the indies, because 90% of them can get a job like that. I have no sympathy for TNA because they had so many opportunities to do this right. Most of this I lay on Dixie Carter's head, but the senior Carters should have paid a little closer attention to what she was doing, and they wouldn't have lost so much money.
Mm-hmm. And apparently it looks like now they're going to have some issues regarding their plans for Bound for Glory.
I've understood that they have not talked much about Bound for Glory, because I bet it got turned into a question mark real quick. If not from the Russo thing, from the Spike deal.
Well, the issue is not so much regarding Russo or Spike or anything like that, but the fact that from the 16th to the 19th, they're going to be taping Impact at Bethlehem, and it's going to be post Bound for Glory shows.
They haven't even started selling the tickets for Bound for Glory proper. As far as I know, let me see if Mikey's still around.
So basically, we're going to have all the Bound for Glory reveals.
Mm-hmm.
And the entire month leading into, what's the November pay-per-view / Impact, I forget.
One night only, doesn't matter, we're screwed anyway.
Yeah, but we're going to have the whole month going into that revealed by the time by the 19th, and that's Friday the 19th, and that's still over a month until Bound for Glory is supposed to be happening.
This is just reminding me of those WCW worldwide tapings where they screen the audience and they tape months in advance. And I'm expecting if TNA lasts long enough for it, it's going to cause chaos, just like when they tried to make Sid champion with that.
Oh,
only I don't see anybody attacking anybody with scissors this time around.
No, not this time. It'll be something else, like a screwdriver. Oh, wait. Only two people here are going to get that joke. Anyway, I'm checking with Mikey to see if the Bound for Glory tickets actually ever went on sale. Because last couple times I've talked to him, they haven't even put the tickets up for sale. So why would you? Never mind.
They are on sale this weekend.
Okay.
And names that have been announced for the event: MVP, Joe, Storm, Sonata, EC3, Abyss, Davey Richards, Eddie Edwards, Bram, Manic, and Team 3D.
Yeah, probably not the Team 3D one.
And I thought Davey broke his leg.
That would be yet another lull whoops from TNA.
Well, knowing that they can't take Hardy with them, and Bully Ray's pretty much gone.
I'm surprised they could take MVP with them. I thought he had legal issues going outside the country at times too.
Maybe I'm thinking of just the UK. Maybe Japan will let him in. I don't know. But I thought Davey was hurt. We know that Bubba's walked. And where Bubba goes, Devon's not usually not that far behind. And the rest of that list, I just, that doesn't even, you know, that wouldn't even get me to go digging for a stream. So, but I neglected to ask you, Chris, or did I?
You did neglect. Basically, my viewpoint is, if there was any hope of them ever doing something that would be positive, like how WCW turned around in 96 for a little bit, I wouldn't want them to die. But at this point, their only hope is like some rich eccentric billionaire buys out from Dixie, kicks them out, hires somebody wrestling-based into it, and works it from there. But that is about as likely as me winning the lottery and buying TNA.
Well, if you do, just you keep me on your speed dial.
No, you'll replace Taz on the booth with Mike TNA.
Oh, hell with that! I'd let Nikki book.
I do that too. She can do both.
I can multitask. I can multitask, and if I need help, I get on the phone and I get a hold of some of my former clients.
Does this mean we're going to see Super Oprah as TNA champion?
Knockouts champion.
Okay.
And if you really get desperate for help, there's your dear uncle who can give you some tips.
Oh, he'll hang up on me. Oh. Repeatedly. Repeatedly. But the fact that, let's see, I could get Super Oprah down there. I could rope together a developmental and get a hold of somebody in Ohio. Jobber, if you're listening, I know your school's doing really well. And if not you, I can dial up Billy Rock. No, if I want a Divas champion, I'll go get my dear, dear Chelsea Cassidy. And like I said, Chris, if you win the lottery, call me. I will make the arrangements. I will work my way back down. I already, you know, I have some ideas for a locale, even if it's in a smaller town. Let's see. Ah, there we go. As Mikey confirms what you just told us, VRM, that the tickets are going on sale at the Wrestle 1 event in Tokyo. Did you see any of the prices, VRM?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
Whoops. Either way, the prices are probably less than some of the things I saw from Japan earlier today.
Well, I'm just curious. Because given what I know about prices for tickets for WWE events, then most WWE events, yes, you can get in the door for $20. Just have a really good pair of binoculars.
Yes.
The fact that maybe it's just the region I'm in now that Monday Night Raw tickets are up to around $100 if you want to be on the floor.
Yeah, I've seen that for when I was trying to buy tickets for myself for the Raw in Miami, I think it was, after Battleground.
Okay.
I saw the prices were high, so instead I just got a friend of mine an early birthday present. He went to the Portland, Oregon Raw with the last time with the Scratch logo and Hulk Hogan's birthday party. And that was his first Raw, too. First live event, actually.
I don't know whether to be happy or sad for him, but I'm sure there was...
He loved it. He loved it. He took some of the confetti home.
Cool. Hey, I took home a cookie from Bad Blood 04, so anyway.
I took home some confetti from WrestleMania 20. I just don't know whatever happened to it.
Do I have any confetti from 22? Half the streamers ended up in the rafters. And I don't have any from 23. And I didn't keep any balloons from King Booker's coronation. Anyway.
But King Booker.
Well, no, I was there the night of the coronation. They dropped red and gold balloons from the rafters.
Right. I think I remember that. But the thing I always remember was Regal just keep on saying, all hail King Booker.
Better him than Sharmell. No, to the point that I attended one of these events around this time with Bear, and when Sharmell would not shut up, he finally boomed. You know, enough already.
Did she react, though?
Sadly, no.
Oh, okay.
But a lot of the crowd agreed with him because they heard him too. But yeah, tickets in general are not cheap. And Mikey hasn't answered me, but I'm going to, you know, just give you guys some ballparks here. Since I'm going to be at this coming Monday's Raw in Des Moines, because I'm a masochist, though I feel better that I'm getting a highlight reel if I can't have Dean Ambrose and Roman Reigns. Let me pull this up. Okay. So if, for example, if you were interested in going to Raw in Des Moines, the seats range from $17 to $97, depending on where you want to sit. $50 will get you in the lower level. $30 will get you in the upper bowl. Limited view and 300 level seats are the $17 seats. So, yeah. No thank you.
Nah, limited view isn't that bad. I've done it before.
So
is Mikey getting you the yen prices or the dollar prices?
He hasn't given me anything.
Hmm. This is for an event in Des Moines that she's talking about.
No, well, I asked Mikey about Bound for Glory.
Yeah.
Have you been able to...
I tried going to the venue website. TNA is listed on the schedule, but there's no link to click for it.
Why am I not surprised?
They're wondering if they can make any profit by charging 2 yen for a ticket.
Let's see. And I'm going to just a little bit of live silliness here. Okay, there are no $97 tickets left for the Des Moines show.
Well, that's pretty obvious that they don't do that.
Profit at 2 yen?
Yes.
You realize 2 yen is the equivalent of 2 cents, right?
Yeah, that's about as much as I'd pay on a TNA ticket.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
They won't profit, but at least they'll sell a ticket.
All right.
You know, besides, when has TNA ever concerned themselves about turning a profit when all they've been doing lately is turn heads?
Mm-hmm.
And so turning my stomach.
Oh, good Lord. You know, but if you need to go, Tom, we understand. Just let me know.
No, I'm good. It's just that TNA has been like tonight's Chinese food.
And it's sad that I would say this, because I want competition. Do not get me wrong. I want competition, but TNA isn't competition. Never has been. Well, no.
They came close.
05 to 07, they could have done it. They were getting there. 05 to 07, they had the formula.
The biggest trick with being competition, and they put this best in the Monday Night War DVD, I don't remember who, not DVD, the specials on the network.
Uh-huh.
If you're going to be competition to WWE, you need to be an alternative to them. You don't do the same things that they're going to do.
Right, and that's been TNA's stumbling block for the last year and a half. They've been doing WWE Lite.
That's been their stumbling block since the January 4th Monday night show.
That I am so glad I didn't have to sit through, and I did not have to watch when it originally aired.
because you were seeing a reconciliation that actually worked.
Yes, I was at the reconciliation in person. And granted, we almost didn't make it there because it was an icy night in Dayton. Although, admittedly, one of the funniest things in the world was the fact that when we got out of the car, the car right next to us was a black and pink Mustang. I said, well, Brett's here. Took the picture. So, let's see. I don't know the prices. I'm just reading off the TNA fanboy tweets. I have yet to check the Russell One website since I got to open up Google Chrome so I can translate the page. That's from Mikey.
Mm.
But since he loves to troll the what he calls the TNA zombies, better known as the remnants of the TNA fan base.
Yeah, there was only one zombie in wrestling, and he was an ECW.
Don't remind me.
Your gimmick sucks.
Oh, speaking of gimmicks and speaking of missing wrestlers, I promised to touch on this. Comicbookmovie.com somehow got my Jomo. And he will soon be part of this. What is this? It says project. So is this a TV series?
Let me pull that back up here. Write it down.
Jomo didn't name it, but he's in there with Jason David Frank and Kevin Porter in a series called Taz Caden Operation Black Unicorn.
It's like a word scramble that you have to figure out what it's trying to say.
Probably.
You get the decoder ring if I find you to drink Ovaltine or something. I don't know.
Anyway, so yes, I think you were the one who posted it, right?
Me? No.
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. Muckamuck put this up, so I took a look at it and pulled it up, and there's Jomo. That's not enough, Jomo. Take your shirt off!
He doesn't want to make Jason David Frank jealous.
Do I have to go find Hercules Reborn so I can at least watch him with his shirt off for more than 5 minutes?
No, you have the WWE Network for $9.99.
To that, I need to go find his ladder match with Sheamus. Because they had hella chemistry. And I'm going to go find the chamber match where Jomo hung from the ceiling. Because that, ladies and gentlemen, was epic, and I wish I had seen that in person. Admittedly, though, the first chamber I got to see, Jomo was in my corner. And you can take that any way you like.
Oh, my.
So...
Well, I had to double take looking at Jomo there. It kind of looked like early Drew McIntyre.
No, I see that too. And I miss him. I miss him as well. Damn it, Drew.
No, he's got a quote unquote world title right now. He's fine.
That's true. He's doing all right. But I miss him already. So, I think I've covered everything I had on my sheet.
Yeah, one thing we haven't touched on.
And that was?
Jake.
Oh, yeah.
I need some information. All I know, I heard that that our dear friend Jake the Snake Roberts was admitted to the hospital unconscious.
Yeah, I've got most of the story up. So apparently he was on a flight out to an event in Vegas hosted by... I forgot what his name is. I should pull it up. Again, it was the guy who was Kazarni.
Oh, okay, Sin Bodhi.
Yeah, Sin Bodhi. He was on his way to an event with being run by Sin Bodhi. He was on the flight and he passed out on the flight. He was admitted to the hospital. he was brought to the ICU where they where he had fluid in his lungs. He had, I think he's had double pneumonia.
Oh, great.
And they also found a mass on his brain.
Oh, shit.
Supposedly. He was fading in and out of consciousness for a bit. He is now... He is awake as of last report. He is having more tests done. According to Sinbodhi, his sense of humor is still as healthy as a horse, and that he was more worried about disappointing the fans than he was getting better. According to several tweets.
That is wrestler mentality, ladies and gentlemen. So yeah, he's fine. He'll hopefully be okay. Thoughts and prayers. And I wish I could find this right now. Not to take away from Jake, but just some good news out there. We joked a lot in last episode about the ice bucket challenge, which I have taken.
You're welcome.
Yes, damn you. And turns out more people saw it than I thought, and several people came up to me and asked me, you know, how'd that feel? And I said, I live in Minnesota now. I'm immune to cold. But apparently, I just need to throw this little GIF into the chat. Ladies and gentlemen, we have some continuity. From Seth Rollins, who decided that he interrupted, I think it's Sami Zayn, was doing the donation. I can't tell who it is. The gift before this, there's a guy standing in front of an ice bucket, and Rollins just flies in with a knee to the jaw. Enough with the stupid ice bucket! Just donate! I want to see this whole video. Somebody find me this entire video. Anyway,
Well, I can't find you that, but apparently your dear Uncle Paul did his own little twist on it, too.
He chickened out. Uncle Paul chickened out. Now, granted, he managed to chicken out by distracting with the sexy and having a porn model pour ice water all over herself in slow motion. You're welcome.
So most people won't care, then.
Oh, I may have... Yep, I found it.
Okay.
Linked. It is Josiah Colby.
Oh, okay. Oh, so one of his CrossFit buddies? Sorry. That is beautiful. Stop trying to get yourself over. Oh, Mr. Rollins, I'm going to be in your neck of the woods on Monday. This is going to be interesting. Okay. I'd rather go out on that note, so let's call it a show. VRM, do you have anything to promote?
Whenever I finally get a chance to get it to Carl, Russell Crab Sports Digest, I think we are officially going to call this one 201, because the other two 201s that we've done in the past 6 months, they failed spectacularly. So that was 201. That means tomorrow night, 202, we're going to go over the NFC, finally. Champions League got drawn, and poor little Cska Moscow. They've got stuck with the group of death for this year's Champions League.
Mm.
We've also got the Yanks sitting at pretty much the bottom of the in a pretty big hole in the AL East and in the wild card. Also, I'll talk about my experiences at the PGA, the first round of the FedEx Cup playoffs, where my dad and I walked for 9 miles on a Sunday between the hours of 8 and 4 p.m., and our legs were so sore when we got home.
I know that feeling.
Mr. Delgado, would you like to not promote the Chinese restaurant that you got dinner from tonight?
The only thing I would like to promote tonight is, as usual, my Twitter account. And I have been writing some very vile things about the New York Metropolitan baseball team. So you can read all of that at Real Tom Delgado. Don't be fooled by any of the other fake Tom Delgados out there. They're all idiots and poopy heads.
And let's see. Chris, I'm sure you've got something to promote.
For once, I actually have something to promote besides just the link to a website I haven't updated in a while, which I still haven't updated that. However, Nikki, you and I did something recently.
We did. We sat down and watched a little bit of wrestling history.
Yes, Nikki and I have watched Starrcade 1983, and I had a little idea of something we could try. Nikki decided to name it for me because I couldn't think of a good one. We call it the Paper Review. We're going to start with Starrcade 1983 and go through all the pay-per-views on the network, and the Clash of Champions and the Saturday Night Main Events. And we're going to do it like an audio commentary track kind of thing. So the first episode is up with Starrcade 83. We're going to do this up to WrestleMania 17. We're not going to go past that because I want to just focus on that era when there was competition between the companies. So the site that I have put it up on is tindeck.com/users/CMWaters. Right now, that is tindeck.com/users/CMWaters. So you get to hear me and Nikki commentate through the whole pay-per-view as best we can. Bear in mind there are some technical difficulties because my net crashed in the middle of it.
I think we both had freezing issues with the network, and that was hard to sync for a while. But
yeah,
it's interesting to see wrestling history since, you know, as I've mentioned in the past, I've only been involved one way or another with wrestling for about 15 years.
Yeah. And
you and close to 20.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
So we're seeing stuff that before we got involved, and we're seeing, you know, the past stuff, you know, before, you know, seeing before they were famous, the influences.
Especially with Piper and Ambrose.
Holy crap.
Don't spoil too much now.
Okay, I won't do that, but Ambrose could do that for me.
I will screw up the entire pay-per-view.
Anyway. So, but yeah. Watch the pay-per-view and just run our commentary track underneath it. Granted, we don't call the moves either, so it'll be just like listening to Cole and King and JBL, but it'll actually be entertaining.
And we won't try to yell over each other.
No, in fact, I don't think we argued one bit.
No.
But will you plug the network for $9.99?
I did a couple times in there. Not as much as they do, but.
Oh, okay.
They do it very well on their own.
Yes. And we're going to try to record another one on Sunday, right, Nikki?
Maybe. Yes. I should be able to because tomorrow I have other obligations, and Monday obviously I'm going to be on the road all day.
Right. Yeah, we'll try to do Starrcade 84, and I'll try to get that up by the next Friday. Now that I got the site for it and everything.
And of course, I need to promote the Freakin' Awesome Network, which is one of the places that you can listen to the North American Wrestling Connection, along with Stitcher, Player.fm. And, of course, our website at clw83.com. We try our best to be one of the most positive podcasts out there, so I hope that we at least entertain. You may not agree, but we're not going to sit here and scream it all in your ear. So for the slightly swaying Tom Delgado for the ever technical VRM for the eternally silly Chris Waters. Oh, and Mock-a-Mock, did you want to promote some stuff?
And oh. Carl is dead.
Oh, I thought that was Carl in muting. Okay. And now Tom is dead, so now my show is truly complete. For Tom Delgado, for VRM, for Chris Waters, for our Chief High Muckety Muck, Carl Chenier, my name is Nikki Heyman. I promise that I will make Tom Delgado laugh even harder the next time I have him on this show.
In 3 years.
No. It will be in less time. It better be in less than 3 months. Damn you, Delgado. We needed you on this show.